Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, fellow gamers, and welcome to the Video Gamers Podcast, where we cover all things related to gaming. Since it is a Thursday, that means it is time for This Week in Gaming, and we are going to be talking about recent gaming news that took place over the last week. I am your host, Paul, and joining me are my two gamers in crime. First up, I learned that he might be the most ruthless bank robber of all time. Hide your kids, hide your wife. He's taking out all hostages. It's Josh.
Nobody gets out alive.
Nobody. No witnesses.
My favorite was going on a rampage and then watching Paul round a corner with a hostage meat shield and then just instantly killing your hostage, Paul. And then watching you just drop him and then being like, what the heck, man?
Oh, I can't wait to talk more about Payday, but I just remember rounding a corner and I just see Josh taking out every person in the bank, turns, shoots my hostage immediately, literally no hesitation. Couldn't believe it. All right. And then joining me and Josh, you can find him wandering around an amusement park in the middle of the woods all by himself at night, riding the teacups. Definitely can't be creepy at all. It's Ryan.
Dude, you trying to give me nightmares? Like, what if,
I know,
what
right?
are you doing? That sounds horrible.
Oh, I don't even know who would build that amusement park in the middle of the woods like that. But, gosh. Oh, man, we got some Alan Wake 2 stuff to talk about. This is going to be an exciting show. We've got a lot to cover here. So just so our listeners know, you can find us on socials everywhere at Video Gamers Pod. Also, we would like to ask that you go check out our Patreon support options. There are some awesome perks like unlocking bonus episodes. You can check it out at multiplayersquad.com. And while we're on the topic, we do have a new Patreon supporter that we owe a thank you to. We want to say thank you to Cestbien, who signed up with Rare status.
All right.
I did Google to see what Cestbien means. I knew Bien meant good.
Yeah.
And so I did Google this. And so your language lesson for the day is that is French for is good. And I will say, Cestbien, you are good for supporting the show. So, gracias.
I took French in high school, just so you know.
Wait.
Did you?
Did you know what Cestbien meant? Because you didn't say anything, Ryan, when I was looking this up.
I was just letting you, you know, work it out.
Okay. All right.
Oh, very nice.
I thought the ladies would like French better than Spanish, but I live in a border state, so that was a really stupid move.
Yeah. Here in Phoenix, Spanish is going to be a little bit more practical. Yeah. All right. Well, we also, Cestbien also joined our Discord. Our listeners should go check it out. It's free. There's a link in the episode description. I love that they said that they love Ryan's Arnold impersonation. So that's gaining a lot of love. And they also said that they appreciated that Josh and I were really trying to sell Cyberpunk for everyone who gave up on it a long time ago. And they've been enjoying Cyberpunk. So that's always so cool to see.
Yeah, it's time to forgive CD Projekt Red, everybody. Cyberpunk's really good now.
It's really good.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start out by talking about Payday 3. So they are currently, at the time we're recording this, we are still in the middle of a technical open beta. They have opened up Payday 3 to everyone to stress test the servers. We definitely got to see some of the server issues, but that's okay. I think it is safe to say all three of us have been very hyped about Payday 3. It was really exciting to not just watch footage, but be able to jump in and play. We got to play a couple matches together. It wasn't easy to get started, but we got there. What was the experience like for you guys in Payday?
Paul, click it. No. Join up. All right, well, let's back out. We'll
restart
Steam. Send
the invite again?
Send that again.
Wait, what?
Nope.
I got to restart Steam?
Okay, all right. That was like 2 hours and we got two matches. So yeah,
it was not the smoothest multiplayer joining experience. Once the game was running, it ran fine.
Yeah.
It was really just did. Getting into a match together was quite the feat. We definitely exited and restarted Steam at least a dozen times in between each match.
Oh, it was a little bit of a nightmare to get started. But like you said, Josh, once we were in, I was surprised it ran flawlessly. I kept being worried, oh gosh, it took us 40 minutes just to party up and get in. Are we going to get DC'd right away? But I felt like we had a lot of fun in Payday. It was really exciting to get back into it.
Dude, once we were in, I just remember loading into the map and then instantly beelining it to the bank, walking through the lobby to a door and then trying to pick the lock on the door, and then a security guard instantly being like, hey, what are you doing? And then put me in handcuffs within the first 60 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And then you
because
and
Ryan and I,
yeah.
We were in the back of the bank and there was no one around. We pick our lock and we walk into the back of the bank, and all of a sudden I just see 700 exclamation marks and Josh starts yelling, come save me, I need help.
I was yelling at you two to come unhandcuff me because I wanted to start lighting the place up, man.
Yeah, for those who don't know, like, there's a little map on the bottom screen, and when you have enemies it just lights up with a red marker, so it just lit up, you know, when Josh got nabbed, and we're like, all right, well, here we go. And we
the attempt to go quiet literally lasted less than a minute.
Now, to be fair, picking a lock is going quiet. It's just getting caught by the security guard that was standing right next to me.
You were doing it in the lobby of the bank.
Okay. I mean, you know, I assume that not everybody has really good eyesight, Paul.
Yeah.
That's on me, guys. That one's on me.
Yeah. It was a solid plan. You were just a little unlucky.
But
it was really fun. I really enjoyed having like the multi stages of trying to break into this bank where we had to go get our thermite. We had to light it so that way we can burn into the vault. The cops kept turning on the sprinklers. We had to keep turning them off. Otherwise that, you know, delays the whole process. It's still an awful lot of action and a lot of shooting. I mean, like, how many cops do you think we killed during that first bank heist?
Hundreds.
Like 800?
Yeah. Oh, a
maybe
lot.
More?
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, it's funny to me because it instantly felt like Payday. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. The second you're walking around and you start shooting people, I'm like, dude, this is Payday, 100%. But it was like Payday, but cleaner and tighter. You know, as far as that goes, like, the graphics are a little bit better. The AI seemed a little bit better. There's more. I got my butt kicked by Sam Fisher.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So apparently, like,
Ryan,
this game
come
will
help,
call.
Ryan.
Dude, I was yelling. I was getting, because he looks exactly like Sam Fisher. I mean, decked out in this just stealth gear with the night vision, weird spider eye goggles and everything. And he just leg sweeps me and jumps on top of me and starts just pounding, kicking me, and I'm screaming at the time, help, guys! Sam Fisher's kicking my beep! You know? And then Ryan finally is just, all I hear is him laughing, but his character running around the corner, and he's like, you can see your party's outlines through walls, and Ryan is just laughing because he's like, dude, I was watching him beat the tar out of you. So, yeah, I like some of the advancements they've made. I like that it still has that Payday feel. So for me, even with the technical issues, this was like a big success story in my opinion. I'm curious, though, because Ryan, you've never played a Payday game.
Never.
What were your thoughts on this, just like hopping into this completely blind for the first time?
Dude, this has a few of the things that make me just the most happy in gaming. I was playing with my friends. I was playing something with my friends that is ridiculous and crazy. And just shooting a bunch of guns and blowing up stuff. And so all of these things are everything that I love on online games. So us running around, just like you said, Josh, watching you get the tar beat out of you as I'm running around the corner to try to save you, and I'm watching this guy just punch you in the face and like kick you and stomp you, and then I come around and I shoot him, and then I revive you. That was so much fun. And then running in, we need more thermite. We need more thermite. They keep kicking on the sprinklers, and I'm going into the stairwell to like keep the cops away, you know, while we're trying to burn down into the safe, you know. All of it to me was an absolute blast. We all had some little other obligations, so we couldn't play a ton, but I am so excited to play some more, and I'm so ready for when it actually kind of full release comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, and it only gets better and better the more you play. Like, imagine us running that mission a few times, and of course, right now in the beta, you can only play the one level, and of course, there's going to be a whole bunch more at release. But if we get to the point where we can... All right, each of us is behind a different security guard. We all pop our mask at the same time.
Yep.
Put the security guards in zip ties, start shooting the cameras, and like actually trying to strategically do the heist. It's going to be such a blast. I'm so excited for more Payday. I really loved the first Payday the most. And a lot of people have said that Payday 3 plays so much harder than Payday 2. It really feels a lot more like 1. So I really love the direction. The only thing is that we all just had the basic loadout in the beginning, so we didn't have like our zip ties. We didn't really know what we were doing, but it's going to be so much fun the more that we get into it.
Yeah, this is one of those games that I always feel like the Payday name is like one of those like mid-tier. Like people have heard it, but nobody really ever goes like, oh, I can't wait to play Payday, right? Don't sleep on this game. This game is dumb fun, honestly. It really is. Like, I've enjoyed every Payday game that I've played. Yes, they do get old after a while, but I mean, that's any video game. But this little glimpse that we got of Payday 3 was enough to absolutely just reinforce my excitement for this upcoming release.
Yep.
Dumb fun is the perfect phrase. That's exactly what I said as well. I said it's just good, dumb fun. We were laughing like the whole time, but also yelling. It got hairy at times. Like, we're rezzing each other in the middle of the street, trying to lower the street blockers, like the poles come out of the ground, trying to disable those. And of course, there's snipers everywhere that you're trying to, you know, snipe back. Oh, so much fun. I can't wait to be able to play Payday once it's fully released. As much as I'd love to keep talking about Payday, we probably need to move on here. I feel like we still have to talk about Starfield. I mean, it's one of the biggest releases of the year. There's so much to talk about, but we did learn here this week that they crossed over 1 million concurrent users across all platforms. They also tweeted that more than 6 million people have played Starfield, which would actually make it the biggest day one launch ever for Xbox Game Studios title. So just to kind of check in with you guys, are you still playing it? Have you beaten it? Have you quit? Where are you guys currently at with Starfield?
Well, Ryan's just getting started.
So. Yeah, since he's been stuck in Subnautica for a while.
I've been in the depths for a while, unfortunately.
Yeah, make sure you check out our Subnautica deep dive, because Ryan was forced to play this game during the release of Starfield, sacrificed for everybody out there, but is now finally able to envelop and embrace Starfield. Where I am on the tail end of Starfield, I am still playing, but I know myself well enough to know that I'm losing interest. That is nothing against Starfield, to be honest. It's just my whatever I got that it's like once I'm 30, 40 hours into a game, I just start to fade and I start looking towards that next new thing for me. So I am still dabbling. I am making an effort to shotgun the story only at this point, because I would like to see, like, I want to say I've experienced Starfield completely. I'm just having a harder and harder time focusing on doing that. But Paul, I heard word that you've beaten it twice now.
I have beaten it twice, which does not take as long as you might think. Because once you beat the game the first time, and don't worry, I'm not going to go into any spoilers or anything, but it does have a new game plus option. And the game is very clever, where you restart and it is not exactly the same as the first time you play. It's almost a little bit that they have almost a little bit of a roguelike mentality when you start the game back over, because your character already has certain knowledge of certain things. And when you start to play again, you don't necessarily have to do everything in the main story. There are major shortcuts. I think my second playthrough only took about maybe 5 or 6 hours.
Oh,
and
nice.
That was only doing a little bit of side missions and mostly doing the main story. So you can pump it out pretty quick, but it's actually very clever in how it entices you to keep doing New Game Plus runs and gaining more power. It actually does feel very roguelike-esque. What about you, Ryan? I assume you are excited to get back into Starfield. You're still working on that first playthrough.
I just like how Josh was saying, you know, oh, I'm, you know, starting to kind of wane off after 30 or 40 hours.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
And like, I have 30 or 40 hours in, and I'm feeling like I haven't even like started it. Like, I'm just like scratching the surface. I'm like, I want to get into this game. Like, come on, give me more.
Oh, and there's so much in Starfield that I've just completely ignored. Like, I have not modded any weapons. I just use whatever's the best items in my inventory. I don't bother with the crafting at all.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And then with being a little behind because I had to do the other stuff, I mean, you know, like you guys said, you know, I had to do some Nautica and all this stuff. And so I'm only, you know, only 30 hours in to a game. but I am so excited to really dive in now that I don't have a responsibility of another game to play. And I can just really just play Subnautica. I'm super stoked. I'm excited to, I'm going to run through, I was reading some things and then I, you know, heard what you saw, you know, on first person basis, you know, on the New Game Plus, how much it changes. So I'm going to rip through the campaign and then restart and really take this game, you know, hold. So I'm excited more than anything.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts once you finish it, Ryan.
Yeah.
Now, Josh, with where you're at in the campaign, have you been forced to choose whether to defense at the lodge or go to the eye?
Exact mission I am on, Paul. And I did one and then I went, I'm not sure I like the results of that. So I loaded and did the other one. And then
and
I
you
went,
didn't like that one either?
And I went, I don't like the results of that one either. Dang it. Why do I have to choose? But that is literally where I'm at, like this very second.
That to me was where the game went from, okay, I'm having fun, but I don't know if I really love this game. That was the mission for me where I felt like the storyline really took off. I really loved it from that point on. I love it once a game forces you to face the consequences of your choices.
Yeah.
And that's the first mission that actually does that.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like a point of no return almost, because the game from here on out is going to be different. And without spoilers, but I like that you're starting to kind of see where everything is going at this point and like where the drama and the clash and like all that stuff is. So I'm going to try. I legitimately am going to try. I think the next game that comes out might actually be Payday 3. I'm not sure the release date on that, but my goal is to finish Starfield before Phantom Liberty comes out. And I got time to do it. I just need to do it.
If you shotgun the campaign, I bet you would beat it in like 6 or 7 hours from that point on. It's not terribly long from there.
Yeah, which is not a lot. So I need to just buckle down.
And everybody knows once Phantom Liberty comes out, like he's done. That's going to go on the shelf. It's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, as much as Josh loved Baldur's Gate 3, Remnant 2, all the games get
ask me
left
how many
by
of those
wayside.
I've finished, guys.
Oh, yeah. We know you haven't finished None. Any.
I finished zero.
Zero.
Josh has beaten like
this
two
is like
games
everybody's
in his
out
life.
There going like, wait a minute. You were doing nothing but just hyping Remnant 2 for weeks. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then they're like, were you excited for Baldur's Gate 3 like 3 years ago? And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then they're like, okay, everybody's on the Starfield. Yeah, I know. I've not finished any of them. I can't help it, guys.
Too many games. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a short break and we'll be right back.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, fellas, now that we're done talking about Payday and Starfield, next up, let's talk a little bit about Alan Wake 2. Now, the first Alan Wake released 13 years ago, and I played it at release. I know Josh did not. Ryan, I actually don't know about you. Did you ever try playing Alan Wake?
I did not. No, it's one that eluded me.
So if any of our listeners aren't aware of the first game, it's actually a really clever psychological thriller. Kind of like, in a nutshell, you play a novelist, kind of like a Stephen King-like character, and you have writer's block. You go on vacation with your wife out to a cabin in the woods. Your wife ends up getting kidnapped, and then you're getting like attacked by shadowy characters, and then you're finding pages in your handwriting that you don't remember writing, but everything that you've written on these papers are coming true in real life. And so it's got this like really clever kind of mechanic. And then the game is actually divided into episodes like a TV show. So there's actual cliffhangers, and then it like stops, and then you start the next episode. And it really had like this big cult following. And so now 13 years later, we're getting the sequel. And it actually has some pretty clever ideas, because it takes place 13 years after the first Alan Wake, so it's like real time has passed, and there is an FBI agent called in to investigate a bunch of murders, and again, it's tied into writings that Alan has done as a novelist. We did get 11 minutes of gameplay footage courtesy of IGN, and I was curious to hear your guys' thoughts now that you're able to see a little bit of footage.
I think this should be called Alan Snooze 2. Because it's, I'll be honest, like, you know, number one, never played the original. I think that the technical aspect of this game is impressive. The graphics are really good. It's got a great atmosphere to it. I get absolutely massive Resident Evil vibes. I mean, in this 11-minute gameplay trailer, you're trying to find a key. They're like, oh, you know, somebody misplaced the screwdriver. You're looking around this creepy amusement park, and you finally find a screwdriver. And it's like, okay, well, now I can get through this door. That's all like standard Resident Evil stuff. You know, oh, I need the wench to go down the well. And it's like, you look around, you fight some monsters and stuff like that. The combat was even very similar. I did laugh when the lady had to shoot this guy like literally 13 times for the corpse or whatever the monster weird thing. I mean, it looks like a human, but it's just takes 13 bullets apparently to like finally like go down. And I was like, all right, well, that's not the most interesting combat in the world. It just doesn't resonate with me for some reason. It's all very slow paced. I do like the like murder mystery suspense aspect of it, but then I just, again, tie that back to Resident Evil. So I'm like, this is just like trying to rip off Resident Evil, but seem like a murder mystery show thing. I don't know, man. I got like, it sounds bad, but I have zero interest in this, to be honest. I just found it all to be kind of boring.
I'm surprised to hear you say that, because I feel like there's just as much action as Resident Evil. Like, there's no action, and then there's nothing but action for a couple minutes, and then you're kind of like back in detective mode, and it kind of like, it kind of goes A, B, A, B, A, B. So it's not action all the way through. But when there is action, there's a lot of fighting. Like, you know, there's pistols, shotguns, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I will say I did like the using the board for your clues and stuff like that. Like
with
that
all part, the strings.
Honestly, I was like, this is really neat. Like, I like games that do that. Outer Wilds did that phenomenally, where as you gather information, you are not going to remember everything, but the game puts this board together for you where you can go, oh yeah, I forgot I needed to go investigate that guy, or I needed to break into this house. Like, oh, I completely, like, I'm so glad that the game reminded me of that. And then you go do that kind of thing. So I like that like quest menu system. This game probably is great, to be honest. Like, everything I saw was very high production, very good quality. Like, I wish I was more excited, but I just went, I don't really think I'm going to play this game or have much interest in it.
All I think about when you're talking about the board is Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Pepe Silvia.
Setting it up and just cracked out on it. But I'm probably more closer to Josh on this one. It didn't draw me in. I'm real bad with these things, because man, this stuff scares the crap out of me. Well, I don't want to be just in this dark little area and in like an amusement park and you know, it just, I can fight and I can kill stuff, but man, this thing, you know, those types of areas just always freak me out. I wouldn't play it alone, you know, late at night by myself trying to beat the game. But I love the graphics. I thought a lot of the kind of the gameplay that they played, you know, was nice. But it is very a la Resident Evil. But it's probably with as much as we got going on, I'm probably not going to pick this one up either.
I thought it was really cool shooting the teacups where some of them had enemies, and if you shot the teacup, little chunks of like the porcelain would fall off, and so you could actually like progressively break them apart and then shoot the monsters hiding in them. I think I'm probably a little more hyped because I played the first one and I know how much I enjoyed it. I think I might have this wrong. I think it even got named the best game of 2010 by like Time Magazine or something. I think I remember reading that. It definitely has like a huge cult following, but it's definitely not for everyone. But I would say if you're at all a fan of like X-Files, Twilight Zone, Twin Peaks, Lost, it's very similar to those movies or shows, and this one has like a very similar vibe. All right, so moving on, we did also want to talk a little bit about an upcoming team-based shooter called Beautiful Light, and there was an announcement trailer that we all watched. This is a game that is an extraction shooter that has six squads of three that have to basically go into a map. You have to find an artifact. It is a horror kind of atmosphere, and then you have to extract with that artifact while racing against the other squads. This is a wild trailer. There is so much going on. Yeah. I mean, it's like you think it's just post-apocalyptic, then you start seeing all these like Lovecraftian monsters, but then you see tactical military squads. There's kind of like a lot to kind of like break down and think about. But what did you guys think about this trailer?
As far as environment and kind of the atmosphere it gives you, the absolute first thing I thought was, hey, have you ever seen that show Stranger Things? Let's make an FPS and puzzle game like around it. Like that's what I felt like. They're in the Upside Down and it's dark, it's gloomy, it's crazy. There's just like a fog in the air of just mist, and then you just got to kill these monsters. And so that is the very first thing I thought of. I thought a lot of the stuff was very grandiose and kind of crazy, but I thought it looked pretty cool, you know, from what I saw.
Just no gameplay.
Yeah.
That's
no
gameplay. That's the problem for me. This trailer was legit really well done. Great voiceover, good atmosphere, like you said. I mean, it shows a lot of like Marines in these supernatural environments and stuff like that. So it's like all of this stuff looks, it reminded me a lot of Aliens, believe it or not. Like you've got squad of Marines in this alien landscape kind of wandering around and like, you know, ready to fight something, but they don't know what. I like the extraction shooter genre, honestly, because you're playing with your friends, so you get that co-op nature, but you get the competitive nature against going up against other squads. The main draw for me in this, because let's be honest, a trailer shows nothing as far as gameplay goes, but the main draw for me is the fact that they mentioned that this is a squad-based shooter that involves puzzles. Now that, you've got my attention.
You had my curiosity. But now you have my attention.
Because, you know, I don't always want to play Call of Duty. Like, if we just want to just shoot guns nonstop, like, that's what Call of Duty's for, right? Like, we can all just three hop in and play that. But give me the ability to think and outsmart people, and I'm in at that point. You know, like, because that's where the draw is. Now, I have no idea how these puzzles are going to work. But, man, if this was something like Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, or, you know, you have to like rely on your opponents. Like one dude's blind and you got to like explain things. Like they could go any number of directions with this, or you're stuck in a room. And so you got to figure out this puzzle real quick while these monsters are coming after you. I would love that. So I like the puzzle element that they have mentioned. I just wish I knew how they're going to implement that.
So hold on. You want a first person shooter where one person is blind? And the rest of it's like the scene in Return of the Jedi falling into the Sarlacc pit. And they're like, no, raise it a little higher.
Yes.
A little higher.
Honestly, because co-op gameplay, me yelling at Paul going, Paul, you're right. And he's like, I am going right. And then I went, my right. I might go my right. You know, like those sorts of things would be amazing.
I'm all for being creative. I'm not sure about the blind part. There was one comment on this trailer that made me really worried, and I needed to go fact check it. And I hate to say this, but the guy was correct. The company that is developing this game is called Deep Worlds SA, and they were founded 1 year ago.
Oh,
and this game is supposed to release in 2024. I don't know how you form a company and release anything that's going to be competitive in the extraction shooter genre, because you're already facing some hefty competition. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, ooh, did they just spend half their seed money making a really cool trailer? And now I'm kind of worried that might be the case.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we've seen that you can develop a really good video game in 2 to 3 years if you have a lot of talent and you are focused and know what you're doing. So it's possible, but man.
Possible.
Maybe
unlikely.
That is a little scary. I want to see gameplay. That's going to be, for me, that's going to be the real litmus test, is to say, how is the shooting in this game? How are the puzzles in this game? How is the co-op nature? I'm assuming there will be PvP if it's a multi-squad extraction shooter. So how does that work? It's just a little early to tell. But if they spent all this money on a good trailer, they've done their job, because the trailer, in my opinion, was really cool. This was what, a 3-minute trailer?
Yeah.
And I kept waiting. You know how like some trailers do, like first 2 minutes is like the story trailer, and then they go into gameplay for like the last six. I kept waiting, and I'm like, show me the game. Like, come on.
It's all cinematic.
Man. Yeah. So it's like, whatever.
Well, Josh, funny that you're talking about developers who are experts and know what they're doing, because we have an update about Skull and Bones.
I knew where you were going the second he said that.
What right. a segue. What Dude, a segue. Put this man on the radio.
We have trolled Skull and Bones. I'm afraid maybe a little too much on the show. Man. Like,
no,
this game is a complete disaster. Don't get me wrong. But Josh and I have admitted, I bet this game will be really fun for 4 to 5 hours, and then it'll be repetitious and we're going to hate it. But the Cursed Project has now lost their third creative director.
Oh, no.
They're going to have to move on to a fourth. All right. To be fair, Ubisoft, the way they are wording this with their, PR department, is that Elizabeth Pelin came in to reboot the direction of the entire game. She came in, she did her job. They like where it's at. So she's being taken off the project to go do other work.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sure. Maybe. Totally.
Don't tell me four different bosses is the best way to come out with good creative art. I just feel like this game has just been such a mess since day one. We still don't have a release date, guys. It's supposedly March. There's still no date tied down. So I don't even know if we're still going to get this within the first quarter of next year.
Unreal.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The
Who
game,
cares?
From the beginning, we've always said we want Skull and Bones to be good. This game started off as a pirate MMO initially. And then they went, maybe we'll just make it a pirate based game. And then they kind of went, and we were like, okay, so like co-op nature, right? And then they kind of went, we don't really know where this game is going. We've seen footage. This is not anything like anybody thought it was going to be. It is basically at this point a naval combat simulator thing. I don't even really know. As much as we've trolled it, Paul, you said it, I think it'll be fun. I don't think that they're going to miss the mark on this game being a good time. The problem is, it's like, what's the saying? A mile wide and an inch deep. Like, that is going to be Skull and Bones, where you're just going to go, like, you're going to get to that 4 or 5 hour mark and you're going to go, this is it? Like, I don't care what my armor on my ship looks like at this point, Yeah. And then it's just going to get super repetitive very quickly. I think all of this is only reinforced by the fact that they have gone through so many delays, so many directors. Like, nobody knows what this game is supposed to be at this point. But they're so
They don't
far,
even know
well,
themselves.
That's the, yeah. Right, and that's the problem.
Yeah, no one does.
They're so far into something. Guys, we have something. It's ships. They fight. There's ports. Maybe people got mad at us, so we added mineral crafting, collecting stuff, but you don't get out of your boat. People got mad because they're like, there's nothing, like, you don't walk around a base. And then they went, well, we'll make a cutscene where you walk around a base. They don't know what they're doing with this game, but they have something. And so at this point, it's just kind of like, we have to finish it. Like, it just worries me. I think this game's going to be terrible. Ultimately, I just, nothing about it excites me at all.
I love the uncertainty and finish it.
Yeah. Well, that's honestly at this point where I feel like they are, because they're going, you got executives going, we got to make money, put the game out there. Yep. And then somebody is going like, it's not ready yet. And they're just going like, put it out there. And then the creative director's like, well, I'm out of here if you're doing that. I don't want my name attached to this. And then they're like, okay, well, wait, you're number three now.
Yeah. Like, oh my goodness
gracious. Yeah. So many reboots and changes in direction. It can't be good. It's almost impossible to envision this game coming out and being great. Like there's just no chance.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and end this episode on a high note like that. Rip Skull and Bones. That wraps everything up for this week in gaming. As a reminder, please come follow us on socials everywhere at Video Gamers Pod and sign up for perks like bonus episodes at multiplayersquad.com. Thank you so much to everyone out there for listening. Until next time, happy gaming.
See ya.
All right. See everybody.